On this episode of ACC Nation Podcast, Virginia finds revenge and redemption in the ACC Men's Lacrosse Championship. Last year, the Cavaliers fell to Notre Dame 17-7. One of Virginia's friends, Karma, was on hand again as they won the title against the Irish 10-5. Two moves in Greensboro. Special assistant to the commissioner, Jeff Elliott, announced his retirement, while the conference brings on Mary McElroy as the senior associate commissioner for women's basketball. We'll update you on men's golf, beach volleyball, tennis, baseball, track and field, fencing, and rowing throughout the show. Spring college football has wrapped and early top 25s are popping up. We're going to be talking with Will Ogenen about how the ACC fared in two of them. Plus, talk a little bit about how ACC teams are doing with 2020 recruiting. Dennis Dodd at CBS Sports has his post-spring ranking of teams, and ESPN offers up a power ranking by committee. But first, Will, let's talk a little bit about Dabo Swinney's new contract. 10 years, $93 million, $6 million buyout. Not bad. Not bad
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, you think? I tell you what, one of the things that surprised me is right after that was announced, I did not see a tweet from Jay Billis saying there's just not enough money. but you know what? He's the guy for college football. I mean, he's the new guy. I mean, Saban is getting up there. I mean, he's still one of the best out there. Let's not, you know, denigrate Saban because he continues to rack up.
I mean,
we are the ACC. We could be the anti-pals.
Yes.
But as far as Dabo goes, yeah, he absolutely deserves it with what he's done with Clemson, especially over the last few years, getting a couple national titles, you know, bringing them to the playoffs, you know, continuing to recruit, you know, some of the top recruiting classes, not only in the league, in the ACC, but the entire country. And you know, we're looking at, you know, 2019, he's projected to be one of the top two teams again in mm-hmm. the country, despite, you know, some of the losses, and we'll get more into Clemson in a little bit, you know, as a team, but there's no reason to believe he can't keep this going.
Well, back when Texas A&M threw down the gauntlet with an outrageous, or so we thought at the time, offer to Florida State's Jimbo Fisher, 10 years, $75 million, I guess we knew it was only a matter of time before another school pointed to their coach and said, his is bigger than yours. Take that how you want. But has that what this has become? Well, are coaches like worth these astronomical salaries?
Oh, I thought we were getting into ACC Nation After Dark there for a moment, but
well,
ACC Nation After Dark.
After Dark.
But no, I mean,
I have the sponsor for it.
It's I guess it all depends on how you look at it. I mean, relative value, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. Dabo is definitely worth it. Saban's worth it. Fisher, I don't know yet.
To be proven.
To be determined, yes. You know, Dabo's won. I mean, Jimbo did win a national title at Florida State, but we've seen, you know, just how things were last year. And, you know, recruiting was not going very well. Going into 2019 and 2018, really, at Florida State, and then he bailed for another situation, and he was kind of stepped into a sort of ready-made situation. And, you know, what happens if, you know, A&M struggles out of the gate again this year? Are they going to start regretting giving, you know, coaches, you know, 10-year deals? And I think it's a risky proposition as it is you never know, you know, you could hit a bad streak of recruiting and just struggling, and then you could be sitting with 5 years left on the deal and, you know, the buyout money, and can you really afford that? And you look at just the financials of everything, and you know, you're asking, you know, your boosters and people like that to help pony up money to pay off a coach, and then you have to turn around and hire another one, and that's a lot more money, especially when you're at, you know, schools like Clemson and Alabama and A&M, where, you know, yeah, maybe they could afford it, but that's still a huge chunk of money.
Let me be a homer for just a moment, and I don't do this very often, okay. But Jimbo is he's headed into Death Valley this year. He's going to get spanked.
ACC Nation After Dark. Yeah, we too. Yeah, at Clemson. Yeah, I think this is going to be ready made for to get his booty smacked.
Yeah. There we go. Like I said, I have the perfect advertiser for that. Possibilities after dark. I like that. Where your mind comes from sometimes. And, you know, I can't blame it on you for sure.
It's all your fault.
Yeah, usually is. In case you didn't see the transition coming, Clemson is ranked as the top team in early polling. Is there any reason to think that Dabo and Brett Venables have not built a dynasty that is holding water with that number one ranking? And, I think you were kind of going this route early here in this conversation, talking about, you know, building a dynasty, man. I mean, that's basically what's going on there. And we'll get into Clemson here in just a second. But, you know, this team and literally, I think that these two coaches working hand in hand. And let's just say that make this clear. Brett Venables got a pay raise along with this big chunk of change that went to the head coach. So, and I haven't seen that exactly yet. I haven't really been looking for it, but I know that he's being taken care of too. I think that combo makes for, a killer combination for Clemson, and it makes all the difference in the world. But get back to the question. Do you think that this team, this program, has reached that point where basically they are, well, the new Alabama?
I mean, it certainly looks that way. I mean, you look at, they won the national championship last year with a freshman quarterback, and it wasn't even close, really. Especially, I mean, there will be questions this year, and we can get more into Clemson again in a little bit, but you look at what they're building there, just all the facilities that they've built to, for the athletes and especially the football players, and they're attracting the cream of the crop in terms of recruits, and so especially as long as those two are together, I see no reason to believe that they've got they've got something going there. And, I don't think there's any bones about that they're far and away the best team in the ACC this year, and their backups will probably be the second best team in the ACC this year. But they probably have a dynasty going for a good long while here.
I'm just hoping that we don't fall off in the conference in the same fashion that they have fallen off in the SEC, except this year things look a little different. So let's take a look at this top five here for a second. Out of the top 25 for both CBS Sports and ESPN are saying that Clemson is number one, Alabama at number two, Georgia at number three, Oklahoma at number four. And this is where we get into a little bit of a disagreement. Dennis Dodd at CBS Sports put together their top 25, is saying that LSU is at number five. I'm not so sure that I'm going to go with Dennis on this one. I think I might go with ESPN's selection of Ohio State. So that's an interesting top five.
It is. I mean, definitely we look at it here. The top, four they were in agreement on Clemson, one, and usually the national champion is always going to be ranked high, and especially with what they bring back, especially offensively, Clemson should be there. Obviously, Alabama too. You get Tua back for another year, get Najee Harris back in the backfield, and they'll bring in another talented class in that will see plenty of playing time. Number three, Georgia. Obviously, they have a great quarterback. They were right there with Alabama last year. Had a shot to go to the playoff until they bungled the SEC championship game. Jake Fromm, obviously great quarterback, coming into his junior year, 30 touchdowns, 6 interceptions last year. Obviously, great stat line, showing that he, you know, absolutely needs to be in the conversation of best quarterbacks in the country, along with Tua Tagovailoa and Trevor Lawrence. And then at number 4, Oklahoma, I get what they're doing. You know, Jalen Hurts is now the quarterback there, continuing the trend of, you know, Oklahoma developing and getting these top quarterbacks. And it's interesting that they pulled him from Alabama. I mean, I don't know if he's quite as good as the last two that have come through Oklahoma and Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, but you know, he's still going to be really good. There's no reason to believe Oklahoma can't be the team to beat in the Big 12 this year. And yeah, I tend to agree with you with number 5. I'm not sold on LSU. I know they have some, you know, a lot of talent back this year, but I mean, there are questions to be had with Ohio State now that, you know, Urban Meyer's gone, and how will Ryan Day handle things? Obviously, Dwayne Haskins, you know, is now in Washington. They're going to have a new quarterback in there. They got, you know, the running backs back. They do have, you know, some skill position players back that will help. But, you know, they did lose a top receiver. Paris Campbell was drafted. And they did, that might be the biggest question on offense is the receiver position. But I would trust them a little bit more, even with the coaching change they do at LSU. I just don't trust the offense, to be honest with you.
Yeah. In this top 5, the one thing that I take away from this, and I'm not even thinking about college football, is that the NFL is going to have a spectacular draft next year. There's so much talent. And if you look at the top 25, the projected top 25 out of both of CBS Sports and ESPN, the teams that are in there are just so packed full of incredible players. It is going to be a real horse race to the NFL. Let's talk just a second here, a little bit more in detail about Clemson. Now, you brought up the fact that the offense, I mean, is led by Trevor Lawrence, who is, without a doubt in my mind, that's a Heisman Trophy candidate right off from the get-go. If he doesn't have a season like he had this past season, I'm going to be very stunned by that. You know, it would have to be an injury or something that throws him out of the game. But the big question I think that pops up in people's minds about Clemson is the defense. All these players that they lost to the draft. And that was part of the reason why I brought the draft up. Let's take a closer look here just for a second, because Clemson, yeah, they lost a couple of their key players. But man, it is, I'm telling you right now, they just have next man up going big time here. And there's a lot of players that you haven't heard of their names, especially if you're not a Clemson fan. But there are players on that team that are stepping up and into these key roles on defense that you will know their name after the first or second game of the season, because they are that good. Clemson's defense looks to be, and I've heard this said, I've read it in a few places, looks to be better than last year, if that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the thing with Clemson, obviously, we'll take a look at the offense for just a second, because obviously we talk about Lawrence for, you know, several times. He's back. He's going to be, like you said, a Heisman Trophy candidate, along with, you know, Tua and probably Fromm. But, you know, they get Travis Etienne back as well, who probably the second best running back in the league, right there behind A.J. Dillon. He obviously is, you know, a touchdown waiting to happen anytime he touches the football. And you look at, you know, a guy who averaged over eight yards a carry and rushed for 24 touchdowns. Yeah, that's, and you know, you look at the averages, you know, quite a decent percentage of his touches went to the end zone. You know, 24 touchdowns and 204 carries. And then, you know, they did lose, you know, running back to graduation, but they still have, you know, Lynn J. Dixon, for example. Tavian Feaster is back for a senior year. They have plenty of options in the backfield help complement him. Defensively, yeah, you know, you talk about it. They do have a next man up mentality there, especially when you look at some of the recruiting, the other classes they brought in the last couple of years on defense, and even just going back a couple of years, even with Trevor Lawrence's class, there was a kid, Xavier Thomas, who was like the number three pick, and or the number three ranked player in the class of 2019, and he's going to be and even have a bigger role this year. You look at, he's going to be really good. They're going to be asking on him to do more. KJ Henry, another kid who was a top, 15 player in the class of 2018. He's a defensive end. And even look at the upcoming class, the ones that are coming in this year for class of 2019. You know, they loaded up at wide receiver with a couple of top 50-ish guys who were probably going to be seeing the field plenty this year. Got one of the top defensive tackles in the country signed, a cornerback. They're just loaded everywhere. And say in Venables, we trust if you're a Clemson fan, because he's going to be developing a lot of good talent there. And I have no reason to believe they can't, be almost as good as they were last year.
Well, for my friend Robin, who is a diehard Clemson fan, grew up in that area and is living, I think, in Georgia these days. I think she moved from South Carolina just over the border a little ways into Georgia. She is, like I said, a diehard Clemson fan. She is just excited and ecstatic beyond belief. And congratulations to her, because she loves going to Death Valley and watching the games. Let's get outside of the top five for just a moment. Now, this is where it becomes interesting for the ACC, and we'll examine this a little bit. Let's touch base with the folks up in Indiana first. Notre Dame. Dodd has them at 11, ESPN at 6. I have a mixed reaction to both of those. I think that Notre Dame is a top 10 team, but I'm somewhere between an 11 and 6.
I agree with you. I mean, I think look at a couple of teams that are in the rankings ahead of them. I think they're better than, I think they could be just as, probably in the same area as Texas, who's at number 8. I might put them ahead of them, and then maybe ahead of set of number 7, Florida, in mm-hmm. Dodd's rankings. I'd maybe put them right in there.
Yeah.
I mean, they get Ian Book back for another year. He was obviously pretty good he won't have the competition from Wimbush to, push him and, help in special designs, and maybe having everything all to himself will be better for the team this year. They did lose, running back Dexter Williams, who graduated, but they have Tony Jones back for a senior year. Now, they did spread the ball around a lot in terms of carries. You look at the way they ran the ball. I mean, a lot, 5 players had at least 68 rushes. So, if you're in that rotation, you're going to get, a few carries a game. They were a pretty balanced offense. And, they're going to be fine on defense too. I mean, they're going to be, they have a decent amount of talent back. They did lose their top tackler last year, which is understandable, but they have a lot of other guys who are entering their senior years, and we're talking about a lot of experience on that defense. I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, the experience, that's a key word. They brought back an awful lot of key players. And again, next man up, and Kelly has done a really good job of bringing people in over the years and building that sort of momentum. Notre Dame is just sort of one of those a program that just is a natural recruitment tool in and of itself. Here's where we get into some issues, at least in my mind. If you're big into science, you've noticed that we have taken a picture of a black hole recently. And there's a lot of discussions about neutrino stars and black holes and a lot of other things in science. If that's something that you're into. I am into it, and so therefore it's on my newsreader. So I'm seeing a lot of this stuff on a regular basis, and it's pretty interesting. Well, to take that black hole analogy and just plop it right down into this top 25, there is just absolutely zip between, and this is for ACC teams specifically, Clemson and then nothing. Except when we get into the ESPN poll, and they have Syracuse at number 22. Now, I think that's doing a little bit of a disservice to a number of teams. And get your feeling about, before we get into Syracuse, what are some of the teams that you think should be and probably will be in that top 25?
I mean, not to sound too much like a homer here, but I think Virginia needs to be in there as well. You look at what they bring back. Bryce Perkins is back. Yes, there are questions at the skill positions with Jordan Ellis gone, Olamide Zaccheaus gone. But they've really shorted up between recruiting at running back. Yes, they have a little bit of experience back, plus they picked up a couple of grad transfer wide receivers. Yeah, I think the offense will be just fine. The defense is going to be, they were the number three defense in the league last year in terms of yards per game allowed. And their biggest weakness, the defensive end could argue, and defensive line could actually be their strongest point this year with some of the injuries they had last year. They're healthy. They really shored up the line in the recruiting class. Linebacker is going to be very good this year. Bryce Hall is a first round pick, probably going into the 2020 draft. He came back for a senior season. And then their schedule is really to their favor this year. There's so much turnover in the Coastal Division in terms of quarterbacks that, Virginia is, you could make the argument Bryce Perkins may be the second best quarterback in the league right now with some of the other guys that are gone. Ryan Finley's now graduated. Eric Dungy's graduated. I mean, you look at through who else is grad. Daniel Jones is now in New York, much to Xavion's chagrin. So who else is out there? I mean, obviously Lawrence is number one, but I don't see anybody else right now that I could say I can look at and say they're the second best quarterback in the league.
And just as a side note, I think Daniel Jones is actually thriving in the early practices for the Giants, just as keep up to date on that. I think that's something to keep an eye on, see how he does, because we had quite a discussion about him being picked where he was.
Long way to go before we know that one.
it'll be a while, but doing well in practices is not a bad thing, but we'll see. See how it works out. Now let's talk about we got one team there, and there's probably a couple more. I would say there's probably three other teams in addition to Virginia that'll probably end up in the polls from the ACC.
Okay.
Aside from Clemson. And we'll see who that is. I won't get into that this week because it'll just that'll be my black hole, and I'll get sucked in and never get out. But let's talk about Syracuse being ranked at number 22. Now, I think that this is probably appropriate. And the only reason I think that Dodd didn't have it in the CBS Sports top 25 is because Dungy left. And there's some question about what DeVito can do at quarterback. I don't think there should be a question. I think he has shown himself much more capable than anyone would have imagined. I know that I was very impressed. Every time he stepped up, I thought that he did a pretty decent job. He showed potential. Now, he's got full reins on this horse, and I think he's going to take it to the bank. And Syracuse is another team that is flying under the radar and has a lot of people coming back and a lot of weapons, and Dino Babers' offense, that hurry up and move the ball type of offense, is really going to kick into high gear this year. So Your thoughts on Syracuse?
I need to see more out of DeVito to know whether or not this is a top 25 team. Is, you know, he did play in spurts last year, and he had his moments. I mean, his last game he played last year kind of leaves everyone with a sour taste in their mouths because he was so bad against Notre Dame, which, I mean, you get it. It's Notre Dame, and
right. You
know, they were a top five team at, you know, whatever, but
yeah,
they were in the playoff. But, you know, three touchdowns against UNC, but then again, that's UNC. A lot of teams were doing that against USC last year, or UNC, excuse me. You know, he played against FSU and played very well early in the season, but, you know, he's also struggled. He was, you know, but again, he hasn't had, you know, full reps like this, so maybe this is an opportunity for him to, you know, now that he has everything, he can get more of a rapport with everybody. I mean, he does get Mo Neal back in the backfield. He does, you know, the receivers, you know, they were fine. I mean, you don't have that guy that they had for, you know, a few years that was your go-to guy that would always catch 100 passes. And, I mean, last year it was a lot more spread around. The leading receiver had 64 catches in Sean Riley, and he should be back for his senior year. You know, they get other, you know, like I say, they only lose, you know, one, you know, key receiver, so they'll be all right there. Defensively, they did lose their top two tacklers at linebacker, so linebacker will be a little bit of a question mark going into the season. They do have, I do think they have some time, but they did get a couple guys back who were, you know, big in terms of sacks. So they will have no problem getting to the quarterback this year. Where I think this could be a situation where Syracuse wins more with their defense than they do the offense.
Yeah, they do have some weakness on their offensive line, and that remains to be seen if that's going to be taken care of by the time fall rolls around. I was looking at the schedule just yesterday, and I have to refresh my memory constantly. First game of the season, August 24th. It just blows my mind.
I know. It's Florida and Miami.
Yeah, that should be a good game.
Absolutely.
We'll see. That may be a determining factor as to which one of those teams is in the top 25 immediately. I don't think Florida, quite frankly, I think they're good. I just don't think that they're where they're, you know, top 25 now.
Yeah, really getting that ACC network up and going. And then you look at the following Thursday where you have Georgia Tech, Clemson, I think Clemson wins handily, but, you know, we're going to see a Georgia Tech offense that is going to be a complete 180 with what they've done for the last decade.
I'm very excited about that. I'm really looking forward to, and we'll talk a little bit here about recruiting in just a moment. They're in the mix, which surprised me in some degree, but then again, it didn't. This is a whole new day for Yellow Jacket fans. So it's going to be fun to watch first season. The second season is going to be even better under their new coach. So we've got the top teams there. And again, I'm going to just point out, I think that there should be a couple, and probably will be in the top 25 in no time at all after a week or two of play. That's pretty typical. One of the things that I find I kind of bounce around from site to site, people still look down, and we've addressed this before, people look down on the ACC from the standpoint of football. And it's because it doesn't have much of a lengthy history. Well, if you live in the past, you're doomed to repeat that mistake. And I will just tell you that the conference has gotten a heck of a lot better. So if you're going to be playing against a team from the ACC, you know, and forget about this opening Alabama-Duke matchup. I don't know who put that on the schedule, but I don't know what you were thinking. Other than, you know, it was an easy win for Alabama. It wasn't going to be a good look for Duke if Duke scores a touchdown in that game as it stands now. Unless something changes, I'll be surprised. But, you know, we've all said that kind of thing in the past, too. But so let's talk a little bit. But before we get into the recruiting here, just a couple of quick notes. 9 ACC men's golf teams received bids to the NCAA regionals. Number 3 seed Florida State fell to the number 1 and number 2 seeds in the NCAA beach volleyball, wrapping up their season. They did very well. They went in, like I said, at number 3. NCAA men's tennis championship, number 4 Wake Forest, number 5 Virginia, and number 9 North Carolina advance. In women's action, during the recording of our show, number 2 North Carolina, number 5 Duke, number 12 NC State, Wake Forest, and Syracuse will be playing. Louisville and Georgia Tech both own a spot in the top 10 of college baseball. Georgia Tech, team to watch in baseball. They are really doing what it takes. They're moving up, and with good reason. So keep an eye on them. Now, in top 25 outdoor track and field, FSU women, they're in the top 10. Meanwhile, Virginia and Clemson men are ranked in the top 25. Notre Dame men and women are ranked at number 1 in college fencing. Virginia, Duke, and Syracuse all own a spot in the top 20 of college rowing. So now let's talk about college football recruiting. But this shouldn't be any surprise to anybody. Alabama and Clemson are at 1 and 2, and they've kind of been back and forth in polling, but in their rankings when it comes to 2020 recruiting among college teams. But here are some of the surprises. Number 5, Miami. Number 6, Florida State. Number 10, North Carolina. And number 19, Georgia Tech. And we're talking about some new coaches, Manny Diaz, Mac Brown, Jeff Collins among them. Notre Dame is at number 12, to throw that one in there, because we're looking at the ACC teams. I'm not too concerned about Brian Kelly's recruiting efforts there at South Bend. So I'm more interested in talking with you, Will, about Miami, how Manny Diaz is doing. Maybe even looking at Florida State here, because Willie Taggart is came into, I think most people agree, into a bad situation and has struggled a little bit. But I think he's recouped from that and is doing all right. Mac Brown, who's got more experience than anybody can shake a stick at, but has been doing a heck of a job recruiting, has North Carolina at number 10. And of course, Jeff Collins, as a new coach, has Georgia Tech at number 19. Let's talk a little bit about how all these coaches, these new coaches to the ACC or are new to the program this time around. Mac Brown is just in every category, so I can't say new about him at all. But how everybody's doing overall. Well, start with Miami and Manny Diaz.
Well, you mentioned, the new coaches, and they're always going to get a little bit of a bump in the rankings the first year because, they're getting their guys because they want to run their system. And this is kind of what we're seeing here with Miami, especially their top, recruits right now for the class of 2020 are actually, wide receivers and running backs, and they do have a defensive guy. So they do have a nice quarterback that's committed too. They are building a little more of an offense with this class of 2020. I mean, they do have a lot more. They do one of the higher commit amounts in the country with 12 commits so far. I mean, we are still 7 months away from signing day, so a lot can change between now and then. But, Miami's done pretty well between, the end of the Mark Richt era and the beginning of the Manny Diaz era in terms of getting, commits in. And this is where he's going to have to sustain that success on the football field, because there are still a lot of questions about this Miami football team going into 2019. So if he can, get this team off to a nice hot start and keep them going, then I feel like, they'll continue to do well in recruiting. This is going to be a pretty pivotal year.
It's funny. Mark Richt joining the ACC network, I think that's a good thing for him. I think he's going to do a great job with that. I just got the impression by some of the interviews and some of the comments that he's made, he was just kind of burned out on football. Just that whole thing, you know, he'd had enough and he recognized it and he stepped away. And if that was the case, good for him, because that takes a big man to be able to do that, to recognize that and to walk away. I think Manny Diaz is going to do an awesome job with that team. I think he's just got that energy and he's got some insight that, you know, maybe that Mark Richt had kind of lost.
What's really helping him, though, is, you know, he obviously knows Miami very well. Mm-hmm. And he was a defensive coordinator there. And then, you know, after a very brief stint at Temple, he came back home to Miami to be the head coach. So he's like we said, he's a great fit for that school, to be perfectly honest with you.
I'm really looking forward to what he does with that team, because I think
the only question with him is he's never been a head coach before. So how can he handle this? And that's one of the things it's going to take a little while to figure out.
We shall see. Let's go to Florida State. Willie Taggart has really stepped into it when he took that job. And I feel for anybody who steps into, you can call it whatever you want to, he stepped into, but it was a mess. And, you know, on a previous podcast, Xavion indicated he didn't think that Willie was going to last very long. I'm beginning to have a different impression overall. I think he's, you know, it's taking him a little time to turn the corner, but I think he's getting there. So we'll see how that works out. But at number six for Florida State, again, this is sort of reputation too of the program as a whole. But it also says a lot that these recruits are having conversations with coaches, and including Willie Taggart, and going, I believe in what you're doing, what you're telling me. So that's a big step. Thoughts on Florida State being ranked at number six?
I don't think a lot of the stuff he was getting last year was very fair. Just if you knew the team, you know, they didn't have a lot going for them, especially on offense. That the line was just so bad and
horrible.
It was downright offensive. Let's be real. But you know, he's now got a full year under his belt. You know, it was a disappointing year, but you know, now he's in the year two. He's got a lot back. I mean, I do have my own questions about Florida State, especially a quarterback. But when you take a look at what they've done for so far with the class of 2020, he's loaded up on defense. You know, they've traditionally been a very good defensive school. You know, they haven't been as good on defense lately, but you know, this is, you know, he wants to do more with that defense. And you know, he's doing a good job of getting the talent in to, you know, build that thing up. If you look at where they were last year, they were ninth in the league in total defense, and it was not very good, and the offense wasn't very good either. So, one recruiting class at a time. They're working on it. It's just going to take a little bit of time.
Number 10, North Carolina. Who'd have thunk the Tar Heels would be at number 10? Mack Brown. That says it all right there.
Yeah, I'm surprised, to be perfectly honest, at how well he's recruited so far. Top 10, recruiting class at this moment, but when you look at it, you know, there's a lot of playing time to be had with these people that are coming in 2019 and 2020. I mean, he's done a lot of work with this team already. A lot of their commits have committed, you know, in the class of 2020 have already, you know, committed just since he's taken over. So, you know, he's had a positive effect on the school already. But going back to what I said about Miami, you got to show the progress on the football field to keep the highly touted commits. They're, you know, they want to be able to play, but they also want to play for a winner. And you gotta prove that you're at least going in the right direction. I mean, I do like their quarterback situation. I've I've said that last year a lot. I think they're going to be fine at quarterback. It's just everywhere else that there's a lot of questions.
So. Mm-hmm. Quite big question mark beside North Carolina for this season. Next season, not so much. And we'll see how that all plays out. At number 19 is Georgia Tech, and Jeff Collins, he's going at it hot and heavy.
Yeah, the thing he's going to be selling, especially if you're a skill player, is playing time. You're looking at what you look at how different things are going to be on offense this year. You're going from the triple option to a more traditional pro style offense, and you're going to be doing things completely differently, and you have a lot of playing time to sell. And there's these I don't know what these guys are going to be like this year with who are holdovers from last year that are, especially if you're like a wide receiver who might only catch 20 balls a year. Then they actually might see like 20 catches in like four games or something like that. And I think it's a good step in the right direction. Like I said, Jeff Collins has done a lot of things to win over the fans already. Now he just needs to translate over to the football field. And it's going to be an interesting year for Georgia Tech, and I think they're headed in the right direction.
Some exciting football, I think, in store for us this fall. I'm looking forward to the season. I think there's going to be a lot of surprises coming out of the ACC. And in one division, we kind of know where things, or assume that we know where things are going. But the other one is going to be, well, it's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, in the weeks to come, we'll start our ACC Notre Dame football preview with special guests. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you catch all of the interviews. Be sure to follow the guys on Twitter. Will is at Will's World MN, Xavion at XAYVEON, and I'm at ACC The Q. Make it easy for you now. You just follow ACCNation.net. That's ACCNation.net. On Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, all at ACC Nation. It's real simple. We appreciate you listening, and until next time, cheers.
Let's go.